Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
That's a crab feast for that ass.
I really felt like a takeoff.
Felt like you keep going?
I felt like I could.
You got lungs, man.
There's some times I can ride that way.
I think most times. I'm like always looking for you to bail, but it's usually me bailing first. Feast of Nation, great to be here. Jay Larson over here. JLarsonComedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy, and all social media. As I mentioned last week, proud to announce that on October 20th, I'll be dropping my hour special at JLarsonComedy.com for $5. Or if you want to pay more, you can pay more. I sunk all my own money into it to produce it, and I'm going to self-release it. I'll be doing an audio release with Audible on October 20th as well, which will be available on all platforms. But the hour video will be available at my website and on a number of streaming services as well. But I'm really proud of it and excited to announce that. So keep an eye out for that. Get your $5 ready. And then October 6th and 7th, I'll be in La Jolla at the Comedy Store, coming down there with the fam. Excited to be back in San Diego. Sickle?
Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Great to see the Feasters who came out in Huntington Beach. Love you all. Thank you all. We both thank you for all your support at all shows and on this podcast. We love you dearly.
Best fans in podcasts.
Best fans,
not
no
just
doubt.
Me saying it.
That's right. All our guests come in and say that. Local shows on my website, RyanSickler.com. September 29th and 30th, 4 shows at the La Jolla Comedy Store. Use code CRAB for 2-for-1 tickets. I'm recording my new album. Let's have some fun out there, La Jolla. TheCrabFeast.com for any and all related Crab Feast info. You know that free way to help the podcast out. Get over there if you're shopping. Click on our link. Help us out. It's a big deal for us. And merch. Love seeing you guys support. Wear it. And premium apps are on there. And make sure you follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter.
Excited to have this guest back. He's been asking for a long time to get back, and we're like, should we, shouldn't we? And finally we're like, all right, have him back. Excited, everybody, and think you're gonna enjoy this one. Please welcome back to the Crab Feast, Scott Stone!
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
I've never felt so welcome in my life. I'm jumping.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I almost didn't find it, but then you guys have an awesome, this sign was like a parking beacon for me. I turned around, I couldn't find it.
Saw it.
And then it says, hashtag fuck the Crab Feast. And I'm like,
through the window.
No, I know. Yeah, I swear to God, I saw it from Venice. I
fucking like that.
Yeah.
I like that too. That's a good place, man. Well, before we get into it, why don't you plug your social media, whatever you'd like to here?
Yeah, at the Skylar Stone, Instagram, Twitter, all that shit. And I've got a movie that just got released on iTunes called Sister with Reed Scott and Barbara Hershey and Ileana Douglas. John Haird, who just passed away, the dad from Home Alone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's in it, too. But it's like a movie about mental health. And but I'm like the funny guy in the drama. So it's called Sister.
Nice,
terrible
dude.
Title. But I swear to God, it's a good movie.
All right.
Yeah.
On iTunes.
iTunes, yep.
Yeah, see, we're just talking about this. It's everywhere now.
Yeah.
iTunes?
No, I just mean entertainment is everywhere now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to a theater. You don't have to even do. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. You just be at home, and like even Yahoo has TV shows now. You're like, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I'm done for the night.
I know you want to get into it and talk about it. So you are back.
Yes.
So tell us what happened and where you went. And well,
couple times went somewhere.
A couple times.
Physically and mentally.
Yeah. I've been, I've had a little bit of a drinking problem for a long time and a drug problem. Got into pills for a long time and had no idea if I could ever stop doing it. And so 2 years ago, I actually got sober, like February 23rd.
Wait, so how many times have you been sober? Because I've seen you tons of times where I would never think you were on a thing.
Really?
Yeah. You remember that time we bumped into each other behind that Jack in the Box? That sounds like shit.
That does sound.
You remember?
Already sounds like I was scoring.
We were going to. We both came out of an audition. My wife was in the car.
Yes.
And you and I talked forever. And
down on Wilshire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Not by any means. I mean,
see, we're like, a couple of foodies. Like, you do you have specific places you stop and get food at every like casting place?
Oh, of course.
Like, if I go to Fox,
that's how I got introduced to Sugarfish.
Yeah.
If I go to Fox, I'm going to the Apple Pan. It's happening.
Me too. 100%.
It's not 100%. Yeah.
One of my favorite burgers in town. You know the secret of the Apple Pan? Get them fucking fries well done, playa. I mean underdone. They always overcook. I always ask.
I'll get them underdone.
Yeah, I go, can you like not go too hardcore on the fries?
You get the hickory burger, right?
I do, but I honestly
it's not for you?
No. It's more the fries and the ice cold Coke and that little fucking
I would fuck that burger.
It is a good burger.
It's a good burger.
My burger is Shaka Shack. That's over by where the kids go to school.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Which place?
It's a place called the Shaka Shack.
I don't know
it's
this.
It's good.
Yeah, it's in Santa Monica. You know,
open on Sundays now.
You go to.
You know that?
No. Oh, they moved up, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We went the other day. If you go at 19th and Ocean Park for that casting office this will be your spot. Shaka Shack.
Shaka Shack, bro.
If you go to the Disney building, you're going to Bob's Big Boy. That's still going down.
I never did. I only did Bob's once.
And then that was enough?
Yeah, I mean, I just went because I was there. Like, you know, someone was like, we should go. It was a long time ago. I just never. Usually when I shoot to the Valley, I'm like, how quickly can I get back? I want to eat somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank you. I live in Reseda. Yeah. I like Reseda.
I'm not knocking the Valley. I'm just being like, the quicker I can get through the traffic to get back. You know what I mean?
But although, you are a West Sider. You probably do hate the Valley.
I don't hate it at all. I mean, there's a lot of great areas. I mean, we used to record there, man. I used to go over freaking at least
Northridge,
twice a week.
That was
Hollywood.
Your place, right?
I lived a little chunk of the Valley. I like the Valley. Yeah,
the Valley's fine.
I mean, I love Ventura. I love that, you know, whole street.
Yeah.
That right there.
I love that whole street.
It's like the biggest street ever.
I love that street, man.
I love that longest street in Los Angeles with everything on it.
My guilty pleasure was anytime going to Radford, I would hit that McDonald's, and if I had a morning
the
audition,
the one that didn't have a drive-through,
yeah,
which is gone now,
it is gone.
That Mickey D's is gone.
That's gone.
I would grab two egg McMuffins with sausage, no question. I would get in there with fries and a Coke.
Wait, you add sausage to egg McMuffin?
No, you use sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin. You know?
Oh, I didn't know. I was like, damn, I didn't know you could add.
I did. I did two McGriddles for breakfast today.
Did you?
I swear to God.
Yeah. I believe you.
You're like, you just said you're an addict. Yeah.
So, yeah, tell us.
So, you know, I mean, I got the first time I got sober was, and by the way, thank you for thinking that I don't come across as someone that's like, you know, I'm a high functioning addict.
How many times were you sober?
The first time was February 23rd, 2015. I went to two rehabs right in a row, Hollywood Detox Center, and then I went to this place called Soba, and my roommate there was Mr.
The Noodle Joint?
Yeah. No, my roommate was Andy Dick.
Oh my God.
And I'm not kidding. So I would wake up every morning and say, hey buddy, you want something to eat? And I'd be like, yeah, sure. And I always thought he meant like he's going to make me eggs. Every day I'd be like, maybe today he'll make eggs. Maybe it'll be bacon. No. Andy makes these like green potions. That's all I can call it. I don't know what's in it, but it's like the kind of stuff that just blows everything out of your ass.
Yeah.
Like he would make me these things and by 2 p.m. I'd be in the middle of group and everyone's sharing. I would just be fucking clinching at fucking turtle head. And like, it just, he cleared me out every fucking day. I swear. He's like, that's the way to get sober. You got to get the toxins out, buddy. Like,
I do this every time.
Yeah. 19 times in rehab later, you know. He just got done with a relapse, too. So, yeah. But, I mean,
everybody's relapsing, man.
I know. And people, I don't know. People say that, like, the 70s was way worse. Like, that was the Coke scene. But, dude, I think it's just as bad right now, dude. Look at everybody taking their lives in the music business. It's still just as bad, dude. Like, because now it's pills. And pills are, you know, like, you can get those so easily. I used to have this guy, Tackle Box Todd. He'd show up.
Hey, Tackle Box! Tackle Box! Todd! What's up, Todd?
Listen, man, I'm going to get some flies for my fishing rod. And let me get some.
Give me 30 Vikes, man. Give me 30 Vikes.
We had a party on Beechwood.
Give me two spinner baits and 46 fucking Percocets, play. Trout bite.
Give me some worms and some Darvocet. my girl Alana at the time was like,
Tacklebox Todd.
We were partying, and she goes, let's just, are you guys having fun? We're like, everyone's drunk and stoned. And we're like, yeah. And then we ran out of weed, and so we needed some weed. And she just goes, well, let's just call Tacklebox Todd. I didn't know what that meant, you know. And so I was dating an actress, and she knew about a hookup. I'm like, this sounds kind of fun. And so he showed up at my apartment, and he had a three-level tackle box. And in
what other kind is there?
Yeah. If you're going to be it. Yeah.
You need a three-tier tackle box, man.
And everything was in there. I mean, every color pill, every upper, every downer. You know, there may have been Quaaludes in there. I don't know, like fucking dated-ass Quaaludes. And I just started. It was like a working man's drug. People can't tell when you're on Vicodin.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, you're just kind of chilled out, you know?
And so that's what you started with?
Yeah, I started with that, and then I moved on to Percocet, moved on to Darvocet.
See, now, I guess I've been told I'm allergic to Percocet because I had them for my back, and they make me throw up. I break out in hives. They make me itch and scratch, and they're like, you're allergic to it.
Still
I was like,
do.
Oh, I can't do it.
But,
I break them in half. You know,
put them in my ass.
But they're... I hadn't even considered that.
Oh, it gets to you very quickly that way.
I heard.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
From Andy Dick.
So how many were, like, I can't handle one. How many were you taking?
20 with, to 25 a day.
A day?
Mm-hmm.
Percocets and Vicodins? Like, you can mix those?
Yeah. Yeah, you can mix those.
Holy shit. Tacklebox Todd ain't got the fucking stock for that.
He ain't, nah, man.
No yeah. way. There's,
oh, I cleared him out several yeah. times.
For lock Tacklebox, man.
You know, vending machine vending, because I'm going to need some more fucking these pills right here. Right?
I would go to him. And he literally, one time I remember, because he talked like this. And so I went to his place and he goes,
everybody's in that Andy Dick range.
Yeah, he's like, he goes, hey, Skyler. And I go to his house and he just looks at me and he goes, just don't sit there. Someone died there yesterday.
What?
I swear to God. And like, I immediately felt uncomfortable. And you would think that would, that's yeah. how you know you're an addict. Like, you would think I'd be like, well, get me the fuck out of here. I'm like,
is this
well,
chair good?
Yeah. How about the futon? Is yeah. the futon all right? Okay. Where did someone not die? And then a year later, another person died there. And neither of those two things ever made me think that I should maybe stop going to him. I swear my life.
So how okay, I just have a million questions. How many, if you're doing 20, 25 a day, every day,
yeah.
how many are you buying at a clip and how much does it cost?
At a clip, meaning like every time?
Every time you're re-upping, how much are you getting and how much does it cost? And how much does it last?
If you buy like...
long.
If you buy 100... you're going to get them, you can get them pretty good. You can get them like $5 each, but they're usually like $7
five
each.
$5 each?
Yeah.
So 500 for 100, but that only lasts you for 4 days.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that I did it 20 to 25 a day, 7 days a week. It's just when I was doing it, that's what
right,
I did.
I got you.
And I would buy 100 thinking, well, this would be good for the month. And then it would last me 4 days. And then I'd go get some a week later sort of thing.
And where are you going to get them? Always Tackle Box Todd?
Mexico Mike, Tackle Box Todd.
A lot of alliteration in the pill world.
Mexico Mike, I met through...
Percocet Phil, what's up, man?
Darvocet Danny.
Everybody's a fucking repeat.
Yeah. Xanax Zachary. Mexico Mike, I met through Marilyn Manson.
Another MM. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Let alone Molly.
Yeah. Sorry. All right, so... yeah, well... how's that? Well, we'll come back to Marilyn Manson.
Okay.
So you're doing 25 time, whatever. You get sober between then and now?
What do you mean?
I just saw you a few months ago.
At your show. I was relapsed.
During that same show?
During that show.
And what about all the time before that? Are you saying you've been using since 2015?
No.
Oh, okay, that's what I'm asking.
I stopped in February of 2015. I made it until October of last
gotcha.
Year.
Gotcha, okay.
Made it a year and 7 months. What happened was my twins turned one, and I don't know if you guys remember, but they had a really rough time getting
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
They had something called twin-to-twin transfusion where the placenta was unevenly distributed, just to keep it short. And so one baby was getting way too much blood, and the other baby wasn't getting enough at all. And so Carter had a 40% chance of being born. Hudson had a 60% chance of being born. They came 6 weeks early. They had a 3-week NICU stay. It
3 weeks.
Yeah, it was fucking. It's really hard to see your baby on wires.
Yeah,
two of them. And so, and they projected that one of them was going to have open heart surgery when he was born, and he didn't actually have to. So that was a miracle. But that stressed me out. I was sober for a year and 7 months, but I didn't do the program. I didn't do the steps. I didn't have a sponsor. I wasn't working a whole lot, you know. And so just I got really stressed. I threw a really big birthday party, a one-year-old birthday party where like if you came to the party, you would have been like, is this somebody's 21st birthday? It was like a fucking – there was a taco – like a company serving tacos in the back. There was bouncy houses. There was a DJ. I mean it was ridiculous. And we did it because
– the doctor said the kids had a 60% chance of surviving that bouncy house at one. Yo, man, this kid's one. You might want to keep him out. I give him 6%.
I want to get a DJ. Call Tacklebox. Call Tacklebox.
Got one in there.
So, I mean, we threw it because we were so glad they made it. You know what I mean? It was just like,
well, fuck yeah. Sure.
It was like, we're throwing the biggest one-year-old birthday party anyone's ever seen. And we went to Costco and we bought a bunch of stuff. And all of a sudden, I started grabbing cases of beer. And Nicole goes, whoa. It's my wife. She goes, the fuck are you doing? I go, buying beer. I haven't guessed. What, you think people aren't going to want to drink? It's a Sunday. It's a four-hour party. And she goes, okay, then if you can send out a mass text or an email, you can say BYOB and take it with you. I'm like, honey, that is the rudest thing to do the day before a party. Like, oh, by the way, bring your own shit. And she goes,
And I got a bartender. Man, I don't know what is your beef? Yeah.
And Tackle Box
3:30 cutting live.
Yeah. Tackle Box is coming too, you know, so We bought it, and she didn't want to, and a woman's intuition is really good. I should have listened to her because there were 3 Pacificos left over, and they were in the fridge, and when you and I, we were just talking about these Cokes I brought, and like the best way to drink a Coke is like, you know, fucking ice cold with like, you know, the water beads on it. They were in the fridge. They had the water beads. It looked like a fucking beer commercial, and it was the middle of the night. I was like, I want this fucking beer right now, and I just drank it, and I was like, well, now I'm relapsed, so I drank the second one, drank the third one. Yeah.
Tackle Box!
Here you go, TV!
TV, bring it in there, man!
Been a long time, Todd. He comes in, fucking singing. So
what did you do after the third?
Got in my car, drove to 7-Eleven, bought a 22-ounce of Stone IPA. Slammed it in the parking lot, came home, wasn't buzzed by any of this. 3 beers, and I thought I'd be totally buzzed. I hadn't drank in a year and 7 months, so I drove back.
In all honesty, I relapsed 2 months before that. Got sober again.
Got my tolerance up a little bit. No, I swear to God, I hadn't. But,
so all because these three I'm sorry. I don't mean to minimalize. I don't mean to say all because these 3 Pacificos are in there, but that was the trigger for this time.
Absolutely. I see. Yeah, they were just in there. I drank them. I drank 22. I drove back to 7-Eleven a second time, got another 22 ounce. And then I bought a bunch of those little, went next to the liquor store and got those miniature, you know, just like the airplane Jack Daniels. You know what I mean?
How many?
Maybe like 4 or 5 of those. Did those. And then.
This is all that same night.
Yeah. And then the next morning.
And are you feeling good or are you just like feeling like, holy fuck, I'm slipping.
I couldn't believe how desperate I was to feel something. And that's not how when I would party, like I didn't mind if it took a couple hours to get buzzed. I wasn't the kind like woke up at 7 in the morning drank. I wasn't the kind that ever missed a job because I drank, which is why maybe you just never thought I had a problem.
Maybe.
You know, I don't miss sets because of alcohol. I never missed a call time because of, you know, I was a high functioning, like successful alcoholic, you know what I mean? But my personal relationships were just fucking, I mean, if you were in my inner circle, you were like, he's fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Cause, it was bad, but, I had 3 Pacificos and then all those beers. And then the Jack Daniels, my wife in the morning noticed they were gone. She came over to me, took the pill off my head. She goes, did you drink last night? She just knew. And I stopped. I almost said no. I go, yes, I did. And she goes, fuck you. Put the pillow back on, took the kids to school, left. And then I just felt like shit. It was bad, dude. It was like fucking, it was bad. You know, if you're any alcoholic out there will say like the second you've relapsed, you're like, you're really depressed, but then you're like, well, if I lost my time, I might as well have a good time for a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but that was just the one night and then you went away for rehab after that?
No. Cause that was October of 16 and I didn't.
I still had 36 beers left. Like,
no, I didn't stop till May 3rd of this year. So it was a good 6-7 month relapse.
Wait, so what the fuck? Were you hiding it from her the whole time or she just dealt with you being an alcoholic again?
She started to deal with it. She started to just like, you know, 2 weeks later, I started sneaking it for a while. And then when the holidays came, you know, she wanted to all of a sudden drink. She actually quit with me. She, you know, excuse me, she was pregnant. And so when she was pregnant, obviously don't drink. And then I got sober during her pregnancy. So she was like, I don't feel the need to drink, and I want to support you. Let's just keep it going. So once I was drinking again, she's like, well, fuck it. If you're going to drink, then I'm drinking. So we just started drinking during the holidays, and then we drank New Year's Eve, got blacked out after we saw Drake in Vegas, and fucking I
like you bumped into him or actually saw him in concert?
No, I saw him in concert. I don't know that motherfucker.
Saw him in the elevator.
Yeah. So we just fucking partied all night. And I blacked out, and she couldn't get me off the floor. I threw up all over the casino. I mean, it was really fucking bad.
Were you mixing alcohol and pills? Are you full? Are you when you say you're? Are you drinking or are you back?
He's back.
I'm back, baby.
Oh, yeah. Soup.
Are you back to doing what you were doing when you before this?
I'm not doing 20 pills a day yet, but I'm definitely mixing. Like it was like
yeah, train for a little bit. You know?
Yeah, yeah, you gotta play. Yeah. It's fucking yeah, Rocky, just, like a Rocky IV montage.
Back into that, man.
Yeah. Can you imagine a fucking training montage? Just like crushing up by
getting back into pill.
Yeah. Get this one up your ass. Did you ever put a pill in your ass?
No.
Hmm. What about you, Jay?
No.
I mean, you clearly have. We covered it earlier and you're bringing it up again.
I've never done pills.
So, but I want to hear about it now.
I mean, unless I was like sick and I had to take like, you know, whatever. But, once I took a Ritalin, Ritalin, my friends were snorting it. I'm like, there's no way I'll fucking snort. I'll just eat it.
And you'll be up all night if you snort it.
I don't remember it doing it. I have no idea what it did or, you know, I don't know why anything that was like, excuse me, OD-able, I never even like,
good word.
Ever went close to, you know
now,
what I mean?
You're from Boston, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you think, I mean, did you grow up seeing some shit? Because that's a rough town.
Two people, Lenny Bias and Reggie Lewis. Mm-hmm. Lenny Bias was the one that like just blew the socks out of me. I didn't even know much about cocaine, but all I remember is when Lenny Bias died, I just knew. And they were like, it's the only time he ever did cocaine. It was his first time he was celebrating. That's what they were saying. And he OD'd. And I was just like, oh, shit, that stuff can just kill you like that.
Yeah.
And I just stayed away from drugs. And then I had a roommate in college who smoked weed. So then that's when I started smoking weed ever was with him because I'm like, oh, this is harmless. And then... You know, I just, every pills, I just stood.
Do you still smoke?
Occasionally.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're like a stoner, yeah, right?
I smoke weed. I don't drink much.
You really don't drink?
No. I mean, I could
probably
have.
Has a Corona once in a while.
I could have beer in my fridge for 9 months, not shut blink up at it. Yeah.
That would never happen with me.
Yeah. Well, you were an alcoholic and the psychopath.
Yeah. I am an alcoholic. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my, that's my glass of wine.
Will you relapse again when you come back on?
Can we take advantage of you for reading?
Try to make it at least 2018.
Yeah.
All right. So
that was really funny.
You went from October to May, you said, is that right? Roughly?
October to May.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you stop, you get clean in May. Or that's when you go to rehab.
I did some things that are awful. I cheated on my wife. I started to lose sort of who I was. I was very compulsive. And it was at this point that I learned, you know, I was told when I was young that I was manic depressive. I was told that when I was 15. And they put me on all kinds of pills. And this was back when they were, like, testing these
What was
pills
the diagnosis?
Out.
I mean, like, what happened? Was there a reason that they...
School stuff, just, like, getting in trouble, going off on teachers, anger outbursts, you know, not giving a fuck. Just, you know, just fucking bashing a bunch of mailboxes one night with some friends while I'm hammered. You know, mooning somebody from a bus to a bus and getting suspended for 10 days. Just, you know. Standard shit when you're bored in Kalamazoo, Michigan. so I got diagnosed and they put me on Wellbutrin. They put me on Prozac. They put me on. This is back when all these drugs are new. So
kid's
I was
manic depressive right here.
Yeah.
Who? This kid right here. One had his asshole out the bus one. He's manic depressive. You might want to put him on something.
Put the pill right out there.
That's where he was. You can slide that Wellbutrin right up his asshole. Get it to him quick enough.
Hey, he's right there in the fifth row.
He's all, the guy bending over. He wants it. Don't worry about it.
I remember that day clear as day, dude. I remember why I did it. I was just, I just got dared. I was like, I'm pulling my pants down. I think some balls were showing. And yeah. So they called it like sexual something.
Yeah.
Because, you know. Shit was showing. Shit was flapping in the wind. So, but I'm acting like it was so big that it was flapping, but it was probably like a fucking thimble. What happened next? I got put on all these pills. I was like a lab rat. You know, it was the early stages of these drugs. And so they really did really, I mean, it did fucked up shit to me. I remember throwing up Wellbutrin in the bathroom, like all this yellow stuff would come out because it was a yellow pill. And, you know, I just had such a bad experience, and some of them made me more depressed. You know,
wait,
what I
mean? So did your? I mean, your wife knew you were drinking, but did she know you were doing pills and shit like that too? Outside of when you're throwing it up all over the casino?
No, because what I did.
She just thought you guys were drinking at the
17!
She thought you guys were drinking at the holidays.
What I did one of the worst.
Last holiday was fucking Valentine's Day.
This guy. It's even tough. Every now and then he says some shit that clicks in his own head.
I mean, it's the. I'm trying to count.
What'd you say, Valentine's?
He said, yeah. But he said they were drinking at the holidays, which meant when he started in October, a little bit of. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
This is her perception. I'll drink with you. A little bit at Thanksgiving, a little bit of Christmas. We'll tie it running into New Year's.
In between, I'm going to do bills.
Dial it back. Maybe have a nice little glass or two on Valentine's Day. Maybe you celebrate St. Patty's Day.
Oh, now you're celebrating everything.
I mean, you're if you're like, trying to throw Easter
in that motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'll try to help you out. Lent.
Listen, it's tree day today, baby.
Memorial Day, and then it's got to be a wrap.
We live in L.A., dude. People love a day off.
Yes.
Here. Like, if you really actually made a calendar of the amount of days that you can actually get something across the line, it would be, I think it might be like 70 days in the year.
I have a friend that always says it's always on March 12th, and that's it. Like, when anything gets done in this town.
It's
just one day, and the rest of it's bullshit.
When I moved here, where I'm from, Memorial Day means you get Monday off, right?
Yeah.
Memorial Day here means absolutely. You call someone on like a Wednesday, they're like, town's shutting down right now, not much going on. And then when you call someone on a Tuesday, they're like, we're just getting back, you know what I mean? So, like, it's like a week and a half off, you know? Yeah. Anyway, what was I talking about? I forgot already.
I want to know, so did your wife know that you were taking the pills?
That's what you asked me. So, I did this is the worst thing I've ever done in my life. I'm not proud of it, but it's a really crazy story. So, my wife, there's certain ways I start acting. Vicodin does not chill me out. Like, Vicodin chills most people out. But because of my brain chemistry, it acts like almost like cocaine for me. Mm-hmm. It gets me really hyper. I get a really dry mouth. I get spit at the corners of my mouth. I'm manic. I talk really fast. It's kind of hard to gauge because I'm just kind of that way anyway. But when you're with me as often as she is, she could figure it out. So she looks at me and she's like, she goes, You're on Vicodin right now. She goes, when I took you back, when you got out of rehab, when I was pregnant, you said, you got on your knees and you said, you can drug test me anytime if you ever have any doubt. So she had a drug test. She hands it to me.
She had it on her?
Oh, yeah. She had it. Well,
Two Bucks Todd had it for her.
He's in the guest house at this point.
He's like, girl, you got to check him.
Just sold him a dozen V's last night. Yeah. I'll sell you this for $20.
I'm concerned about it.
I'll give you money back if it's negative. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm that positive.
Because I ain't doing my job right.
She hands it to me. And I don't want to take it because I knew right away that I wouldn't pass it. So I just said to her, I don't have to pee right now, but I will gladly take this for you. So she goes, all right, cool, start drinking some water. So she
goes, box it up, look, I got $30 to $5 for some clean piss right now. $5, I got some clean piss in my toolbox. I got clean piss in my toolbox.
Sure does, man.
Tackle box.
I carry piss in my toolbox.
Yeah, that's toolbox, Tony. So
how long is she patient with you before you take?
She just said start drinking. She went and got two bottles of water, brought them in, and said, you know.
2 seconds later, NCAA showed up.
he's getting benched all over. Samples
watered down and shit.
It's diluted.
NCAA. So now I'm in my room. I'm going nuts. I'm trying to get creative. I'm like, how could I not take this test? My brain is just going. Like, you know, I've got that kind of brain. You know, I had that old show Con.
What, Vicodin brain?
Yeah. No, just like I'm resourceful.
Of course.
You're
quick thinking for sure.
So I'm just like, okay, how could I? And right away it clicked. I'm like, wait a minute. I've had kidney stones 3 times before. She's been around for one of those. She's seen me when I'm in that pain. She knows what that pain looks like. If I fake a kidney stone.
I can't even
even look. I just had kidney stones. That's why I know how painful it is. I can't believe all of a sudden.
If I fake a kidney stone and I give a Sean Penn performance and I get carried to a hospital, the first thing they do is ask you what's wrong. And if you say, I've had kidney stones three times, 2004, 2005, 2013, you got to help me. You got if you start screaming, you're in pain. First thing they're going to do, they're going to put you on Dilaudid.
Pills.
They're going to put you on Dilaudid.
That's right.
Dilaudid is an opiate.
Absolutely.
What I'm on is an opiate. So I drop to the floor. I start
pulling. This is basically the version of having a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pulling at sheets. I'm writhing in pain. I'm literally scratching the floor. I'm screaming. She comes running upstairs, and I just act like I am having a kidney stone. Dude, it was the best acting I've ever done. I was literally losing my mind. She goes, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And she goes, do you want me to call an ambulance? And in my head, I'm like, well, fuck, that's going to be an expensive way to stay.
$3,500. Just put me in the Camry. Just put me in the
Volvo, thank you. Volvo. Okay, I care about my kids. I would not drive a Camry. You don't drive a Camry, do you?
No.
Okay, so they want to, you?
No.
All right, so.
Good car, though. Toyota proud sponsor to grab.
So I get in my car. I get in my Volvo. And I'm holding my side while I'm driving. She's seeing me.
She's letting you drive?
Yeah, well, because we have kids, so it's the middle of the night. So it's not the middle. It's like 11:30. Now she's not going to leave.
So you're driving yourself, or
okay. Yeah, but I'm acting as I'm driving away because she can see me down the street, and it was like
swerving. You've seen
Usual Suspects, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I was kind of swerving and kind of just like leaning against the window, like really putting on a performance.
How long did all this performance go on?
Well, upstairs, it was probably 5 minutes before I left. I mean, it took a few minutes for her to come up and hear me. So that's like 3 minutes. Yeah.
Get loose, man. You just jump into it.
Yeah, I know you got to build up. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
He's screaming like Sean Penn. Oh my God.
Mr. Grimmer. Is that my daughter? I love when his voice cracks in that movie. So then I'm in the car, and Usual Suspects. Remember at the end when the coffee mug falls and Chaz Palminteri figures out that he's got light the whole
time?
Don't
spoil it for everybody.
Everyone's seen it at this
just
point.
Kidding.
And so you know how he goes from having that sort of crippled walk into
the foot
a cool,
straightens out.
Yeah, and then it straightens out. That was kind of this moment. I'm like literally leaning against the window. I'm like fucking hitting the window. I'm swerving. And once I get around the corner, I'm like, okay, I can stop fucking performing, right? So now I'm driving straight. Now I'm just going down the street.
Getting loose for the performance at the hospital.
Yes,
right?
Shit.
Yeah, dude.
Because you had to, right? Did you go and do that?
I went there, and now I'm putting on a performance for them.
How do you go in?
Holding my side, screaming.
Like bullet, like you got shot.
Hitting the table, saying I got to get in right now.
That's what was happening. That's really what was happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they pull me in and they go pain level 1 to 10. I go 11. Fucking Spinal Tap, bitch. Like fucking let's get this going, you know. And so they put me on Dilaudid, and right away you get that fucking feeling. It just creeps through your body. I mean, it's like I've never done heroin, but I've been told it's somewhat like that. And I'm like it's in my system now. So the next day when I was released, and oh by the way, they figured it out because they do scans and shit, and they were just looking. They're like, we don't see any kidney stones. And I'm like,
was your wife there for that?
No.
Oh.
No. In fact, they gave me paperwork that said, like, there was a paragraph that said they didn't see any. And I just took that. There was like a 5-page, release statement. I just took that page out and just didn't show that page. And it did say on the final page that my blood tests are high and that they're likely going to crystallize soon. And like my uric acid or something was fucking high. So, but
calcium, man.
Yeah. Stones. No, that's what I have. I have calcium ones. You had it?
I had it.
When?
Christmas a couple years ago.
Wait, I think I reached out to you when you did. Didn't you share it on Facebook?
Dude, he put a picture of me in the hospital. He came to hang with me.
I think I reached out to him. I'm like, dude, I've had that three
that
times.
That shit was unbelievable.
Yeah, dude. Have you had it?
No.
That's the worst. It's the worst. I think it's the worst guy pain you can have.
All right, so now you're past this test.
So now I get home, and she wants me to drug test.
The next morning.
I go, babe, I'll take that for you, but I'm going to test positive for opiates. She goes, I knew it. I'm like, honey, I just went to the hospital. They just pumped me full of Dilaudid. And she just had this little moment where she looked at me and I knew that she didn't believe me, but she just didn't show it to me. She just kind of said, all right, fine. And she's looking back, once I came clean with her, she's, I knew that night. She's, I knew right away.
But the performance was so good, I had to give
it. I mean, goddamn.
She's back good.
Walking Dead. Sean Penn right here.
She pulls out
Dead Man Walking.
That's, she pulls out a page and,
damn it.
In the Hollywood Reporter, for your consideration. Yeah, seriously. Skylar Stone's,
you should have seen what happened at the top of these steps right here, y'all.
So,
all right, so you're past that hurdle.
Yeah. And then shit just hit the fan, dude. You know, I stopped taking medicine when I was a teenager because of how bad my experience was. And then finally, you know, when it was ready to get sober this time, I basically realized I don't just have a drinking problem. I'm definitely a manic depressive. I'm bipolar and I'm unmedicated. And the reason that I drink and use so much is I'm trying to deal with how my head is, and I just got to get on real medicine. If I get on real medicine, I'll stop self-medicating.
Well, I have a lot of friends, some family. We've had a lot of guests here that have been addicts and to talk about the disease and everything. And I'm sitting here listening to, I mean, you went to the hospital. That's how far this got.
Yeah.
It's real. There's no doubt it's real. Yeah.
But there's people that think it's not. Some people would say, no, you're just selfish and you're immature. It's like, it is absolutely a disease. Yeah. It's not even fucking disease.
I mean, for you to think I need to act like I have kidney stones, then commit to, for however long, that was not a short stint.
Yeah.
Then drive yourself to the hospital. Maybe get a burger or something on the way. Then
I know
you get
a great burger spot over there.
Good one. Jay said the Shack and Shack over here is pretty good. And then you go to the fucking hospital and do it all again. Yep. And man.
I don't want to sound like I'm proud. I'm not. I'm disgusted that I even did it. But, like, you know, I have to play it up for, you know, kind of what went down. Mm-hmm. I feel terrible about it, though. I mean, it's, that's so fuck. You would never do that to your wife, Jay. Like, you would never do that. You know, who the fuck would?
I don't have the stamina. I would have given out in the middle. I'm like, all right, you got me.
Yeah. I mean, that, I thought you were going to say, like, you jumped out of, I mean, that wouldn't even, I don't know if it would cross my mind, but, you know, shit, when you're in that place, what the fuck?
That's some catch me if you can shit, dude. It's like fucking...
Fuck yeah, dude. All right, so then after that, how much longer did you go?
That was...
You say shit hit the fan.
Oh, shit hit the fan. Nicole just started... She figured
out... You and Todd celebrated, then...
Yeah.
Then what?
Actually, Todd, I found out he lives in Iowa, or somewhere else now, and someone sent me a screenshot that he is now... a registered sex offender, I think. So,
whoa,
yeah. So shit kind of went the other way for
him, yeah.
For Todd. So I'm kind of glad I stopped.
Toolbox,
toolbox. Yeah, man, you'd be surprised.
Is that what we're talking about for real?
Tackle box.
Oh, tackle box. Tackle box, man.
I didn't see that. Coming. Oh, they done
I
got
did not see
box,
that one
man.
Coming.
I guess really he put opiate in someone's ass or something. Man.
Wait, I do have to sidetrack you for a second. Mm-hmm. How instantaneous, when you put a pill in your ass, how, I mean, come on, 60 seconds less.
God, I don't know that I ever timed it. It's just how fast it comes, or how strong it comes on.
So it is a completely different feeling.
If you crush it and put it in there, yeah.
Absolutely. Versus digesting it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just someone blow it in there, or what do you do?
The what?
Someone blow it in there? How do you crush it up, man? That's a lot of work.
You crush it up on a table. That's not that hard.
No, I'm not saying the crushing up part. I'm saying jamming the crushed up.
Yeah, how do you get that fucking crushed up Smarties up your ass?
I'm sure people do blow it up with straws. I did not let anybody do that to me, I think.
What was your technique?
Maybe I think I spooned it in there.
Spooned it up his ass.
And then
fucking
I threw
spoon
away
man.
Spoon. Spoon man!
I'll tell you what, I'm not eating at Skylar Stone's house. Soup.
I threw it away.
Soup.
Oh my God. I can't believe
all right,
I
so,
said all this.
All right, back to we interrupt. I interrupted. How did you, what was next? After you got away with that, what was your next encounter?
I was just really sad. I was starting to realize that like people are going to catch on soon. Some people were, some comics knew. You know, I was drinking secretly at the Laugh Factory. I was hosting every Friday night from like February to April, and we were doing great. We're selling it out, and we had great lineups and stuff. And but I was drinking behind everyone's backs. And then,
what is that? How do you get it? What is secretly? What are you doing? How are you getting it?
I'm going over to Greenblatt's and I'm drinking there, and then I'm coming over. You know, and yeah. I'm hitting mouthwash before I get back. And so you know, I felt terrible, and then. Nicole just figured out one day a bunch of shit. You know, she figured out the cheating. She figured out everything.
How? How'd she figure
tracked
it out?
My phone. She did something with my phone with Verizon and had all my texts going to her and like my GPS. And she just figured out places I was going, people I was seeing. And And it's like, you know, in the con movies, Catch Me If You Can, stick on that one. You know, at the end, like when he finally gets caught, he still can't admit, like he's still trying at the end. That was what this was like, this scene in my life. Like she was like, she had all the information. She was, Skylar, I know exactly where you went today. I know exactly what you did. I just want to hear you say that you did it. And I still had a story. I'm like, she was, why did you go to this address?
Fake the heart attack.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's next.
I mean,
it's the gradual progression.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it goes kidney stone, heart attack. After that, it's aneurysm. We all know this.
Tiger box. Forgot to give you my Lipitor.
Where's my little Cinepril? I got the hypertension. So she goes, why did you go to this address? And my brain was just like, lie. I go, you have to ruin every surprise, don't you?
Oh.
I go, I was buying something for you off Craigslist. I just still couldn't fucking tell the fucking truth. I could not tell the truth. And all this shit hit the fan on the day, on May 3rd. And so I'm actually getting a tattoo right here on my wrist, 5/3. It's always been a really weird date for me. Every May 3rd, that's like my March 12th. You said some guy said March 12th. May 3rd is when my grandpa died. May 3rd is when Con, I think, went off the air. Like, I've always just had these crazy or terrible things happen on May 3rd. And so I just felt this sort of...
May 5th was always a fucking party.
Oh, May 5th was like, you know... That was the bounce back. That always made up for May 3rd. And so she knew everything. And she, and finally, by the end of the day, I just admitted to everything. She kicked me out of the house and she told me that we're getting divorced. We met at a mediator's office a couple times. She said it's done. I was losing my mind. So that's what you were seeing on Facebook. You saw my post. You probably saw, I don't know, are you friends with Nicole as well?
No.
Okay. So Nicole's posts were, you know, she was letting shit out. I was like, oh my, I couldn't believe what she was going public with. I was just like, I mean, now
she said it all.
Oh, she was going, yeah, she was going nuts, dude. It was bad, dude. I've done a lot of terrible shit to her over the years. I've been an unmedicated, bipolar, alcoholic addict who just did not.
Unfaithful.
Well, that only came at the end. I never, for 9 years, I didn't do that shit. I just lost my mind. And, you know,
it was the same thing as once you had that one Pacifico.
Kind of.
Everything else. Yeah. Like, fuck, I'll just throw everything else in there.
Yeah, I mean, even when I have one of these Cokes, I just want to have like four more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what were you about to say?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that. And so, you know, I just, that's exactly it, Jay. I started to, like one of the, I don't know if you ever read any of Carrie Fisher's books, but she was bipolar. And her books, Wishful Drinking is fantastic. She has like two other ones.
I've watched her specials.
Oh, yeah. So you've heard her story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's
amazing. Sexual escapades is part of manic depression or part of bipolar. And so if you're not medicated, like you do risky behavior. You just want to go do things. You're the person that wants to just lean back in your chair and see how far back you can go without like falling. You know, mm-hmm. And that's what it was. That's and then she figured out everything, and then it was time. She kicked me out, and it was like, all of a sudden, you know, I had people reaching out, and this guy Mickey Willis, who's been like a big brother to me for years, he's
big brother to everybody.
Everybody,
Mickey Willis, Mickey Willis,
get your ass in here, MW.
Come on, man.
I thought you guys knew him. I really fell for that right there. I was like, oh my god, you guys know Mickey.
We brought him along. We knew this was going to be a special one, you know?
I wonder what the fuck took you so long to say it. He's been back there waiting a while.
Where did fuck the crab feast come from? What is that phrase from?
Rye?
It's from a long time ago.
You get to ask this a lot.
We have two different stories.
Yeah, I remember it being a long time ago. We said, you know, we don't give a shit. Go write a review. We don't care what you say.
Uh-huh.
I said, you know, I can't remember how it was.
I say that what Rye said is, hey, please go on and give us a review if you like the show. We don't care what you comment. Just give 5 stars. We don't care if you go on and say, fuck the crab feast.
Five stars.
Yeah. That's how I remember it. And then people start doing that. They like loved it. And they'd be like, man, these guys, they suck. Fuck these guys.
You 5 stars. You two are a pile of shit. 5 stars.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
It's just so ballsy that you guys did that because, you know, someone could read that and go, oh, wait, this show is terrible. I'm going to walk away. But you guys are like, fuck that. We don't. You find us, you find us.
I mean, at that point, we've stolen all the thunder of the people that don't like it. Like, what else are you going to say? Our fans say 10 times worse than that.
Have you guys had any dick on?
No.
No.
You have? Would you like to have him on?
No.
We'll see how this goes.
It's like, I'm not too sure.
I've had to deal with Andy Dick on a number of. I mean, who knows? I don't care. I don't have anything against the man at all.
What about Ron Jeremy? Have you had him on?
No,
bro, that guy's got stories.
I'm sure he's got stories. Huh. The Hedgehog. Let's get back to yours.
Okay. All right. All right. Where were we? So Mickey Willis.
I think you're in the middle of a Sean Penn performance.
Yeah.
So Mickey Willis.
Mickey Willis calls, and Mickey goes, I knew the Malibu rehab wouldn't work for you. He goes, I knew you'd just get your ass kissed there, swim in a hot tub, and just eat some nice food and just get, you know, do
it. Is that all it is for real?
I mean, no, I don't want to say that about Soba. I don't want to say, like, there were moments where you're doing some pretty cool shit, but they really did. They had some great therapists. They had some great, they do have a good success of getting people sober. But if you're not ready to take it seriously, and if you're a manipulator like me, yeah, you'll find the other side of it. Yeah. You'll fucking just do whatever the fuck you want, you know? So I wasn't ready to grow up. And so he goes, I want you to go to Mexico. He goes, and when you get down there, you're going to be pretty surprised at this sort of, this kind of treatment. And I'm like, well, what is it? Like, what kind of treatment are we talking? He goes, it's an alternative medicine treatment. And I'm like, is this like some Clockwork Orange shit? Like, what are we going to do? Like, open my eyes up, make me watch fucking images? And he goes, you're going to see some images for sure. I'm like, why? He's like, you're going to the desert and you're going to do psychedelics to get sober.
What?
I swear to God.
Hold on. Who's saying this?
Mickey Willis. Mickey's,
this
man.
Is Mickey's idea?
Yeah. Fucking Mickey.
So Mickey's
Milk
saying.
Milk Crate Mickey.
I was 4'6" on that milk crate, though, man. Strong 5'9". Strong 5'9". So he's saying, fuck this pansy Malibu bullshit. I'm not saying that's what it is.
I don't know if he said that right.
That's what he's saying. Basically, like, that shit's not going to help. You're going to Mexico.
Uh-huh. Going to Mexico.
To do hallucinogenics.
We're going
to
go
do. Is that right? Hallucinogenics?
Plant medicines. That's what they like to call it. And so I was like, what am I doing?
Hallucinogens.
Yeah.
I don't think it's genetics.
Yeah. And earlier you said minimalize instead of minimize.
I do throw an IM in there. A little minimalize it.
Fucking extra syllable sickler over here.
Well, still, I gave you respect for it.
So I, he says, you're going to take plant medicines. I'm like, I don't know what plant medicines are. And he says, you're going to take ayahuasca. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Have you done it?
No, we've had people come on and talk about it.
No shit. Who's done it?
Mike Kaplan.
Mike Kaplan's done it. He's gone down to South America, I think, and had people like walk him through it and everything.
Peru.
Yeah, Peru. That's it.
That's the motherland of it.
I have another friend who just did it to get clarity. And like, he called his wife, our friend, like the day in and was like, you have no idea. I'm clear.
Yeah.
Figured it out, like, you know, he wasn't and had addiction. He was just trying to figure out like what he needs to do with his career and his life path.
Every person on planet Earth should take ayahuasca.
Chelsea Handler did a thing on it.
Did
on
she really
one, on one of her shows? Yeah, pretty sure it was that.
Both of you should do it. I'm not even. You don't have to be an addict. It's not even really for that. That's just one of the many things I'll do.
Yeah.
So I did 6 nights of ayahuasca. I did 1 night of ibogaine. And I did 1 15-minute session of 5-MeO-3-DMT.
What the fuck?
Wow.
What is that?
I mean, every day was Vicodin. But this was...
I mean, I know about DMT because, again, other people have come on and talked about DMT. And in this order, like every night that... So all that first?
No, first you get there and you detox. You know, you're doing a lot of Qigong, Kundalini, yoga. You're working. It's a place called the Ibogaine Institute. It's just north of Rosarito. It's in between Rosarito and Tijuana.
I've been there.
You've been?
I've been to Rosarito and Tijuana.
I thought you were saying Ibogaine Institute. I'm like, come on now.
I've drove by it, I guess.
So it's on the cliff. It's like right on the beach. It's a nice place. It's a nice house. You get some really good treatment. You have your own room and you eat really healthy meals. You run, you work out. You know, there's a lot of self maintenance. You know what I mean? It's a really good program. But once they detox your system and once they get shit out of your system, the first thing you do is ibogaine. And ibogaine it comes from a plant called iboga in Africa. And they give it to 13-year-old boys as like a rite of passage there. Like they'll literally just say, all right, it's time to grow up, son. And they put you on ibogaine. And they basically make it into sort of a pill form here. I don't know what
up
they
their ass?
No, they didn't.
Not that. The ibogaine
wasn't an option. Wasn't on the menu. And so they give you this little pill. I mean, it looks like Molly, and you take it. Have you ever done Molly?
No.
Mm-mm. Come on.
Mm-mm.
What?
You've never done it once?
No.
No.
Guess what else I've never done? Been to rehab.
Thanks for coming on, man. Ladies and gentlemen, Skylar Stone, everybody.
That was good. That was good. I'll take that one. Right.
Why wouldn't you do that? Because people like you come on to tell us stories like this. That's exactly why I don't want to do it. It's enough for me to hear what you guys have gone through and just think, man, I don't want to fucking go through this shit.
Molly's fun.
I
want to hear about the Ibogaine.
I will say, no one's ever said a negative thing about Molly.
It's fun.
Yeah. All right. Ibogaine. So Molly, looks like Molly's Molly.
So I have hypertension, so it took longer than usual to get me to do it because they couldn't clear me. The doctor wasn't ready. There's three things you can't have if you're going to do it. You can't be on psychotropic drugs, meaning antidepressants, you know, SSRI drugs, mood stabilizers, and I wasn't at the time. So
you talk like a pharmacist.
I do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm such a virgin when
you know
it comes
what it
to
is?
All this stuff.
I was thinking the same thing. You're really smart, and when people – like, you ever talk to someone who had, like, ankle surgery? Or like ACL, they're like,
the
well, it was my ACL. No, when someone explains it, they say like, what it was, my ACL came around, and then the patella tendon,
yeah.
It was a C joint, you know, and, yeah. And they're like, what the fuck?
You know,
like,
you know the jargon.
Yeah. So all this shit that he's saying, he listens and pays attention and sucks it all in, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
Lop his ass everywhere.
Everywhere he gets it.
I miss your laugh, man. Okay, so I the next thing, you know, I'm
tell me about what the 13-year-old boys happens to them when they take.
Yeah, what is this ibogaine?
Well, okay, so ayahuasca has a female spirit. They call it Mother Ayahuasca. It's this female spirit that comes and takes care of you and beats you up a little bit, and it's a she. Ibogaine's a male spirit. They call it Father Ibogaine, and dude, this motherfucker comes in and gives you the tough love that a dad would give you. I don't know how to explain it to you. Other than
does everyone like if we all took that right now, we all see that
it's not like there's one. I'm not going to be so hokey with you that it's like, you know, hocus pocus with you that like it's you would see the same guy with the same garb on. Like, it's not like that. It's you'll feel that presence. It's a male spirit. You might not even see him, but you will feel like you're being talked to. There is whispers like that. Not there's voices. I swear to God, I'm not lying.
I believe you.
It's so hard to explain a psychedelic experience because it's nothing like whatever you can. Like, I don't know how to explain
it. Is it like trying to explain one of those fucked up dreams where you're like, I've never seen this place with my eyes, but everything about it feels familiar
just
and
stuff
that sort
like
of
that,
weird shit? Sure.
3D versions of that, and just like you do feel like you leave your body, you're taken on a journey.
But you're not scared. There's no fear. You're not frightened. You're not aware.
Oh,
like,
no. You're on Ibogaine. There's a lot of fear.
Really?
Yeah. Ibogaine was weird because you take three pills. You're on an EKG. You're on an IV. There's a doctor there. There's three nurses there. There's an ambulance outside with two EMTs. People have died on
Ibogaine. I'm thinking you're in a fucking hut here shoving some pills up your ass.
No. There's three beds in the room. All the... You just can't get
I can't.
You're never going to take me seriously.
I really thought I had no idea. In my mind, you're definitely not hooked up to an EKG with
mine either.
Ambulance or doctor. So you're
at a, oh, you saw me in a hut too.
I saw you, in like Rosarito.
Yeah,
like not a hut, but I saw like a house and like dudes walking around like there's like fucking a gong going off once an hour. Incense burning and shit. You know, like therapy rooms, but like with like an oriental rug on the floor with chairs and some dudes.
Easy.
Every guy's like Brad Pitt and True Romance, just fucking. Yeah.
Exactly. Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm catching your vibe. There was nothing like that.
So you're hooked up to an EKG. There's a doctor, a nurse, and an ambulance outside.
There are 31 reported deaths on Ibogaine, so they take it very seriously. But again, it's usually from someone that didn't admit that they have liver problems, heart problems, or on psychotropic drugs.
Me.
So, yeah, it's someone that just goes down and fills out the form and lies, and it's like, okay, well, you just fucked with your life, you know? So that's what they took 2 weeks to get my blood pressure down on medicine, and then they let me do it. But even then, it was still like, you know, you sign your life away. Like, and you can't sue anybody in Mexico anyway. So that's why they do this there. So you take the three pills. It takes a while to metabolize. After the third pill, it takes about 45 minutes to kick in. And my experience –
What are you doing in the meantime?
You're like lying down.
Reading Highlights magazine and shit. All
no, you're just – you're lying down scared out of your fucking mind.
Just waiting for it.
Yes.
And I'll bet you that is scary.
There was a woman that came over and held my hand. I never felt so childlike in my life. Her name was Kathleen, and she held my hand, and I was gripping it. I was so fucking scared because I heard all these stories. I heard all – basically what everybody described when you have visuals, because not everybody does, but when you have visuals, it takes you on it takes you to the beginning of your life. A lot of people see when they were born, mm-hmm. and it takes you through just about everything that ever happened to you. It's like a fast movie of everything.
This is the Apple game?
Yeah. And so it just takes you through it. Like people, one guy described, he goes, my eyes were closed. It was black everywhere, but there was a screen practically, and the screen just like showed me all these images. I remember camp when I was young. I remember getting beat up by a bully. I remember beating up someone else. Like he saw all this shit. And then it takes you on a future trip too. I know this guy, Graham, who was a heroin addict, and he has a beautiful little daughter named Layla, and he he cares about her a great deal, and he wants to quit heroin, and he saw himself 40 years from now doing heroin with her, and she was like, you know, older, and that really fucked him up.
Bet.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I have to stop because I'm leading this little girl. If she sees that daddy does it, she might do it too. So it gives you a future trip. It gives you a backstory. It really walks you through your pain and makes you realize that, holy shit, it's not really your fault. This is crazy. The most traumatic thing I heard about was one guy took it, and he had forgotten that when he was little, his dad took the family dog, this is terrible, to the backyard because he was mad at it and beat the shit out of it until it died.
Jesus.
And he repressed this memory so much, threw it so down in his soul that's the itch that's why he gets high. He forgot that he was even trying to cover that up. All he ever knew was just feeling good so he could forget that moment. And when it came back, he woke up and he was bawling. Like, this is a grown man bawling, yeah, like a baby. Man. They had to like console him for days. And then they just looked at the therapist like, it was practically like a Goodwill Hunting scene. Like, it's not your fault. Yeah. It's not your fault. Like, you're... What the fuck did you didn't ask for this? So, I go for my Ibogaine experience, and I take my third pill, and it's 45 minutes in after that, and I only got one visual. I swear to God, this is the visual. This has not been made up for comedic effect. The only fucking thing I saw, and I was really disappointed in this, was a tank. I saw a tank, and you know what's the thing called that shoots the shit out on the tank? The circular,
the cannon, whatever.
Cannon, yeah, I don't know.
So. It wasn't circular. It was like a long, like a slit, like something you would stick like a huge floppy disk into. Like, I mean, a fucking 10-foot wide floppy disk. And so it had this, that was its gun, and it shot a piece of American cheese at me. And then a voice said, "That's what that always was."
What?
What the?
That was my only visual. Now, hold on a second. Before you think that's all that happened to me.
They're like, "Hold, Kathleen's holding your shit." How was it? You're like, fucking hilarious. American cheese,
that'll
man.
Be 10,
the white American?
That'll be $10,000. Are you done doing drugs? Are you done doing drugs?
How long is that trip?
Fucking tank shot you with some cheese.
That's all it ever was. And so I...
How long is it?
5-6 hours. Now, physically, I purged a lot. So... I don't know how to describe this to you other than like you shake, like you're practically
seizures.
Parkinson's meets seizures meets like you cannot stop shaking the entire time. And when you grab like your throat bucket, like you someone has to hold it for you because you're gonna miss it because
your what bucket?
Your throat bucket.
Oh, throw up.
You're purging pain. You're purging old pain. Every time I would throw up, I could feel why I was I didn't have visuals, but I had feelings. Like I would throw up. I'm like, that was that time that your dad and you got in that fucking argument, and he knocked you down.
That's specific.
Oh, I could feel. I could just throw up. I'm like, I'm letting that go. My brain would go, you're letting that go. Like I, because the thoughts come really fast. They race in. They shoot into your head while you're throwing up, and you just use like no one told me that would happen, and it's my own experience. But my intuition just told me you're letting this go. That's why it's coming in your head. That's what's going on right now. I let go. There was a girl that cheated on me, and I've always been insecure ever since then. And I threw up and immediately thought of her. I'm like, oh my God, I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. My wife's not doing that to me now. I'm the one that repeated that action. I relived that history, and that's over. I got to stop being that guy, and I've got to stop being mad about that thing. Like you just, I could feel muscles that I didn't know were like tight my whole life, like loosening up, yeah. Dude. It was crazy. I just felt like I was like just popping out. I don't know how to explain it to you. And then, So I'm sitting there, and there's this guy, Tom, next to me. This is one of the funniest things that's ever happened in my life. He's in the bed next to me, and all of a sudden, he shoots up. He's like, he's just breathing, and his eyes are huge, and he's like, he's like hyperventilating, and he's calling for the nurse, Tanya. He's like, Tanya, Tanya. And so Tanya comes over, and she comes up, and she goes, what's going on? Tom, what's going on? And he goes, I don't understand what's happening. And then she goes, hey, Tom, this is just part of it. He's like, no, this isn't part. I came down here to fucking kick heroin and meth. I came down here to have visuals. I came down here to have an experience. How can I fucking have an experience when there's a fucking goddamn gorilla next to me?
Oh my God. He saw a real gorilla.
He has no idea it started. Like, he literally he's in the middle of saying, you think I can focus and fucking see what right, you want to yeah. see when you put a fucking gorilla in the room? Like, he's convinced the gorilla's right next to him. It was one of the funniest things I ever saw in my life, because we're all over the corner, like, shaking and laughing, just going, oh my fucking God. And he said, I want my money back. He goes, "Who? This isn't even professional. Who the fuck lets animals like this in the room?" And she goes, Tom, this is part of it. She literally just pushed him down, and like, he literally started convulsing, and his eyes shut. They put like a couple blankets over his head, and he never talked for the next 4 hours, but he would just shake, and he would shake, and he would like, and you could tell, like, it looked like he was being drugged somewhere. Like, he was just like, he was moving all over.
Gorilla had his ass in a sleeper hold, man.
Well, he wakes up the next morning.
I just imagine if you're looking over, then you start hallucinating that she just starts beating the shit out of him. Like,
we got him down! Like, time down and shit like that. It's like Inception hallucinating on top of each other. So the next morning, a group, like, he's sitting there, and I'll never forget this. Like, I just look over at him, and I just go, I said to him, I go, Tom, you want to talk about last night? He's like, I don't really remember anything. I go, you don't remember the gorilla? And he didn't at first. So I told him the whole story, and by the end of it, he's crying, going, that did happen. Like right away, I brought that out. Had I never brought it up, I don't know if he would have remembered it. And like right away, he said, there was a gorilla. And he drugged me. He drugged me through the desert, and he took me to this place, and there were these people, and I can remember their faces, and I don't know who they are yet, but I feel like I'm going to meet them one day. And like, he had this experience where it took him through his childhood and all this shit that happened between him and his parents, and like, and it drug him through his memories. And this gorilla was really tough on him, and like literally drug him through the world. He said, I just felt like I was being taken across oceans and through the fucking, like, he said it was the most out of body experience ever. And like, he did not remember it until I stoked the fucking memory.
And then he tells that all, and he's like, how about you, man?
The what?
He finishes. Oh, yeah. He goes, how about you?
Got shot with a bunch of cheese from this tank.
I don't want to talk about it.
All right, so that's just phase one?
Yeah, it's phase one.
Okay, so now once you get through, and that's how many days? 3 days in a row of that?
Fuck, no.
No, Ibogaine's a one-night experience.
Oh, it's three pills, one night.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
And then what's next?
Next is Mother Ayahuasca. That is a tea you drink. It's from a flower down in Peru or in Hawaii. And they take the root of it. They mix it together. It's got to be mixed. And it's like a cleansing cocktail. I don't know how to explain it to you.
Go get my pantyhose. We got to straighten. That's they're really doing in the back. You know what I mean? Like, use my pantyhose as a straightener. Yeah, we got to get that out there.
Oh, it's strainer.
It's disgusting. Like, you would hate it.
Like dishwater?
It's like mud. It's like mud. It just sticks in mud. It's just, it goes down slow, and it takes a while to kick in, but you feel it going through your body. But once that thing kicks in, you have this warm feeling, and next thing you know, like, you start talking to her. Your brain just starts going, mother, please be easy on me. I just want to learn from you. Like, I respect you. Please don't be just, if you have a conversation with her, she speaks back. You hear voices. You see things. My grandma came, and she was right behind me. I didn't see her, but I could smell her, and I could just feel her presence. And she said, you're not being one of us. Let us get to work. And I just felt like, man, that's an interesting concept.
That
like,
sure is.
She's saying, I have a shot. She's saying, we're a great family. Who the fuck are you being right now? You know, you're not being one of us. And I was crying. I was like,
how long did that last?
6 hours.
Holy shit.
Yeah. 6 hours.
That intense the whole time? Or is it like you sort of float out?
The
or?
First hour is really intense. Like if Jay was in that other room over there, if he said something even in a whisper, I would feel like he's right next to me. Everything in the room all of a sudden feels like it's right there. Yeah. So you hear other people purging and shitting and throwing
shitting,
up. And,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. You shit a lot.
Yeah,
of this
we
stuff.
Heard about that. Yeah.
Oh, dude. All the McDonald's, everything that's just sitting in your foot, it's gone. Like, I lost so much weight down there. Put it all on when I got back, but I lost a lot.
So I forgot what I was going to ask. Go ahead.
It's just, it's fucking, it's the most.
So everyone's in the same room. So it's, even though you're going through an individual experience, it's a community experience at the same time.
Yes.
Cool.
And sometimes you're taking on someone else's pain. Sometimes there's a moment where, like, all of a sudden you're feeling and you just realize you're being empathic. Like, there's something happening across the room. And, like, I'm not even kidding. You feel like you can send your energy to them. You feel like you can help heal them in the room.
Like when that dude jumped into Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost.
A little bit. Actually, a little
Orlando.
Bit.
Orlando.
I remember what I wanted to ask you. During this.
I forgot about that scene.
During this phase, is there also the doctor and nurse and EKG for this as well?
No one's ever died on ayahuasca.
No.
Yeah. No, it's a plant medicine that's been used by indigenous tribes for I don't know how long. I swear it's medicine.
But they have, isn't it like a guru or whatever that's kind of walking around the room like a yoga instructor, like going over to you and like dealing with people on an individual basis?
There's a shaman.
Yeah, shaman.
Shaman. Arturo. He was there. He was an incredible.
Guess where else he is, yeah. Son?
Arturo! Hey, get your ass in there!
Man, he's been on this shit all day, so it's tough to hear sometimes.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, he doesn't speak a lot of English. But he has the most pleasant soul I've ever come across, save for my children and my wife. I've never felt anything like this man. You know, one time he did grab me and he goes, I love you too much. Like, he just told me that right while I was at the peak of my experience.
Big fan of Khan, man.
CSI, episode 327. So yeah, he was very cool and he was very loving. And he noticed that I was scared. And one night, one of the things they do is they sing old tribal songs and they take flower water and they put it in their mouth and they spit it on you and heightens the experience. There's something about the smell of flower water that it mixes with it. It's pretty crazy.
Hey, man, if you don't mind, you mind blowing that in my ass instead of spitting on my face? I'd appreciate it, man. I'm just sentimental.
If there's any way you can put it up a hose and get it out quicker on my ass, I'd appreciate it, man. It's intense.
One time he comes up to me and he just puts his hands on my head and he just, I don't explain it, but he just like his hands were shaking and he was like doing like this healing work and he just started rubbing flower water in my hair. He started just doing these things to my ears and my neck and like I at first I was just like, what the fuck is he doing? When he was done, I don't know how to explain it to you. I just felt this sudden feeling like everything's going to be okay and everything is okay. And I just started saying that everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And there's this woman, Gabby, who is an angel or the supporters of the shaman. She walked over and she heard me saying everything's going to be okay. And she goes, everything is okay. And I'm like, I don't explain it to you. I just felt for the first time in a long time, like everything was fine. And because I've had so much self-hate. I've been so angry. I'm sure you've heard stories about me. I've lashed out at people. I've done some really fucked up things. And I just, for the first time in my life, I just felt like I can move past that and I can stop beating myself up and I can change. You know what I mean? It was fucking amazing.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And so wait, when does the DMT kick in?
Right.
So the third thing I did was 5-MeO-3. It's called 5-MeO-3 DMT. Rogan's a big supporter of DMT. I don't know if you ever heard him talk about it, but he actually hosted a whole doc. Have you seen the documentary on Netflix?
What?
No. The Spirit Molecule?
I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, you need to. Okay. He hosts the whole thing. He narrates it and everything. 5-MeO-3 is, so there's this toad that it's in the Sonoran Desert. It only comes up out of the mud puddles two or three times a year. And there's these people that know when they come up and it's like a seasonal thing. And they have these little sockets on their back. I don't know what to call them. These little nodules with venom. So the reason they were created this way for them is when a bigger animal comes along, tries to eat it, takes a bite real quick. You know, it squirts that out and sends the animal on quite a little trip. The animal falls over. It's like, what the fuck's happening right now? And he fucking hops away. Well, I don't know who figured this out, but if you squeeze it, the venom out, and you dry it up, and then you smoke it, you inhale it, and it's the most bitter tasting thing you've ever tasted in your life. You hold it in for 9 seconds, and you don't remember 7, 8, or 9. They just go one, and they hold your nose, they hold your mouth like you're not allowed to fucking breathe, and all of a sudden they go 1, 2, 3. four, five. Then you hear six. And then next thing you know, you see all these ancient fucking geography, geometric shapes. You see these like rainbow hand woven, you know, portals, like all they're twisting over your face, like diagonally. And you are literally no longer on planet Earth. I do not know how to describe it. You step outside of your body and you're right next to you. So like if you're right here, Jay, all of a sudden you'd be where I am and you'd see you. And
hey, Skylar, put this up your own ass.
I wouldn't want to do this one on my ass. That is not. It's the most intense 15 minutes of your life.
It's 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's 15 minutes, and you shoot to the moon. And I started crying about my wife. I started saying, "Why did I do what I did?" I mean, tears were screaming out of my eyes. I was just like streaming out of my eyes, and I was like, "Why did I do what I did? Where's my wife? She's here right now." I felt like she was there. And someone just said real quick, "She's not here, Skylar. Just roll with this, roll with this." And I'm like, "No, I need to tell her." And they're like, "One day you will, one day you will." And I just, and then I started screaming about my mom. I've been estranged from my mom for I don't know how long, but I just started feeling like everything's.
How long?
I mean, years, maybe 4 years, you know? And that's felt really bad. You know what I mean? And so this led to me calling her for an hour and 38 minutes right afterwards. And we're fucking, it's like it never happened. You know, she's sending my wife a birthday gift this week.
That's great.
Yeah. It's an incredible experience. I started screaming and hitting my chest. They kept saying, "I love you, Skylar. I love you, Skylar." And I'm like, "Why was I saying that?" And so when I got in therapy, they're like, "Because you've never felt that way. You've never, you know, maybe you've been confident, maybe you've been cocky, but you've never actually loved yourself. You didn't know what it was like to have self-love." And so it was the crazy, that one, that's the one that gave me the big breakthroughs, you know, the slice of cheese that was like, yeah. You know, whatever. This one was like, this was insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're down, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so what? Like, where does it come in that you're guaranteed, not guaranteed, but like that you'll be sober after that?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
There's no guarantee.
But I'm saying, like, what is their philosophy? Is it that when you go on these journeys and how they're like taking you through this, you will come out with a clearer perspective and realize that it's not valuable to be like, you know, using? Or like, I mean, that's what I'm just asking. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, is everyone there at the place trying to get off something?
For the most part, it's for addiction and alcohol at this place. I mean, you can go there and do whatever the fuck you want. There was a gal coming there that writes for the New York Post, and she was coming for anxiety, and I saw her come a long way. Oh, there's a guy down there. I'm not going to say his name, but there's a guy down there that has multiple personality disorder. I believe he had 8 or 9 personalities before he started this, and by the time he did so many ayahuasca ceremonies and
that DMT room must have been crowded when he was doing it.
Well, now he's down to like 2 or 3 personalities, and he is. If they wouldn't have told me that he has that, I would have never known. I would have never ever known. I mean, this shit is healing, man. But to answer your question, I see sobriety as like a lottery ticket, and basically what they did was they took the quarter and they fucking scratched it off for me. You know what I mean? But I still have to blow that shit off. I still have to go turn that shit in. I still have to collect the money. Like I've got work to do, and that's the 12 steps. That's the sponsor. That's church. That's God. That's my family. That's working out. That's eating better. I mean, I just have to take care of myself mentally and physically, you know? And so it cleared the shit out of the way that was never letting me do that, you know? When you have self-hate, you eat an entire pizza by yourself. When you have self-hate, you... I don't believe you have self-hate.
I have some.
You do?
I could sit and eat a whole pizza by myself, no problem.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
But do you think it's self-hate, or do you think you just love pizza?
I think it's a little bit of both.
A little bit of both?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess most comics do have self-hate. You have self-hate?
Boatload of self-hate.
Right, all day, dude.
Oh my god. My buddy said to me the other day in the park, he said something like, our kids were then like, we're watching our kids play, and someone said like, "You guys have something in common." He goes, "Yeah, we both hate Jay." You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
He's like, because we were roommates for so long, he's like, "I know how much Jay hates himself."
Roommates would know that. Those are the people that do. But dude, for your crowd out there, like, honestly, if somebody is going through this, like, if you tweet me at the Skylar Stone, I will help you get into the Ibogaine Institute. Like, if you have a problem, I swear on my life, I've tried everything else, and this is the only thing that I've seen that has like made me feel this way. You know.
So you've been clean since May, is that right?
May.
We're recording 7th. This now, and today's the 12th. So that's
May 7th. I'm 87 days sober. If it's after 12, I'm 88 days.
Almost 3 months.
Yeah.
Coming up on 3 months. Yeah. Well, good for you.
The first 90 days is the hardest.
Well, you're almost there.
Yeah.
Well, dude, this has been really interesting and very honest and open, man. Thank you for coming on and sharing.
Thanks for having me, man. Guys. I fucking love you guys.
Again, say your social media in case anybody wants to hit you up out there about this.
At the Skylar Stone. Skylar is S-K-Y-L-E-R, not A-R. Like the chick in fucking Good Will Hunting.
Right.
Yeah.
Skylar.
Skylar, yeah. Skylar.
You know it. Thanks for coming on, bud. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy across all social planes.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.